Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for my friend, the Leader of the Government in the Senate, and I did call his office yesterday and gave him notice of this question so that he'd have an opportunity to acquire some information with respect to it. This is another in the series of questions that we've received in response to our invitations to Canadians to ask questions. And today, this comes from three first-year medical students and representatives of the Canadian Federation of Medical Students. Vivian Tam is the Junior Government Affairs and Advocacy Committee representative at the McMaster School of Medicine. Lucy Sudak is the Junior Government Affairs and Advocacy Committee representative at Dalhousie University Medical School. And Henry Annan is the Junior Global Health Advocate at Dalhousie University Medical School. And this is what they wrote, and it's quite lengthy, but I think it's an important issue. I'm sure we'll all agree it's an important issue, and I will read the question in the form in which they've asked it. Dear Senators, on November 24, 2014, we and about 70 of our fellow medical students met with your colleagues on Parliament Hill on behalf of the Canadian Federation of Medical Students. Together, we hope to draw attention to the negative impact that the current fragmented approach to pharmaceutical coverage has on the Canadian healthcare system. We propose that the Government of Canada convene a special committee or task force to do the following. One, report on the current state of pharmaceutical coverage in Canada, and two, outline steps toward the development of a national pharmacare system that corrects current financial inefficiencies while ensuring Canadians have equal access to necessary medicine as part of a truly universal healthcare system. There are financial and health benefits associated with universal pharmacare. It is estimated that pharmacare could save Canada upwards of $11 billion each year and dramatically reduce the cost of pharmaceutical drugs for Canadians by increasing purchasing powers. A universal pharmacare system would place Canada on par with our OECD peers. As it stands, we are the only OECD country with a universal healthcare system that does not include coverage for prescription medications. These facts may already be familiar to you as the topic of pharmacare has been raised at prior Senate question periods. Indeed, the momentum for universal pharmacare has been building for quite some time now, and an estimated 78% of Canadians support such a policy, according to a 2013 ECOS poll. It is our hope that continued support from the public and medical community can transform slow progress into tangible change. As medical students, we have already seen the harsh realities of a healthcare system, in which patients are unable to afford necessary treatments. As we learn to take a patient's history, we are taught also to ask, do you have a drug plan? Unfortunately, negative responses are all too common. 1 in 10 patients report having difficulty affording their prescription medications. We are therefore left with a system where patients who have the ability to pay for medicines can enjoy better health. That is not the kind of equitable, sustainable healthcare system we envisioned for our future practice. Consequently, our question to you is this. Is the Government of Canada willing to fulfill the Canadian Medical Federation of Medical Students' request and further study the possibility of universal pharmacare?
L'honorable leader du gouvernement, Senator Carignan.
Merci, sénateur, pour cette mise en situation et cette question de la part de ces étudiants. J'avais d'ailleurs rencontré des représentants de cette fédération lorsqu'ils sont venus ici sur la colline le 24 novembre 2014. Ça a été une rencontre extrêmement agréable et ils m'avaient également sensibilisé à leur revendication par rapport au système d'achat de médicaments. Quant à nous, comme j'ai déjà dit, la ministre Ambrose discute avec ses collègues des provinces et des territoires à l'occasion des réunions pour des ministres de la Santé. Et elle a bien l'intention de poursuivre ses efforts avec les provinces et les territoires en vue d'arriver à des solutions qui sont innovatrices. Et la solution innovatrice qu'elle travaille actuellement pour rendre de façon plus efficace et plus sensée un accès aux Canadiens aux médicaments à des meilleurs prix et de veiller à ce que les Canadiens puissent l'avoir, qu'ils puissent avoir des achats en vrac de médicaments. Donc, les provinces et les territoires se regroupent ensemble pour faire des achats communs et bénéficier de cette diminution de prix par l'achat en vrac. Et la ministre Ambrose va continuer, comme je disais, à travailler avec les représentants des ministres de la Santé des provinces et des territoires pour en arriver à cette solution innovatrice.
The Honourable Leader of the Opposition.
Thank you for that, Senator Carreño. There have been press reports that Minister Ambrose has spoken to Minister Hoskins, who I believe is the Minister of Health in the province of Ontario, and asked him to lead a task force or to consult with his fellow provincial premiers with a view to developing such a plan. Can you confirm that that request has been made by Minister Ambrose to Minister Hoskins, and he has agreed to assume that responsibility?
Comme je dis, la ministre Ambrose discute de ces dossiers avec ses collègues, avec l'ensemble de ses collègues provinciaux et territoriaux, particulièrement à l'égard de la réunion des ministres de la Santé.
There were press reports recently that while the Minister of Health for the province of Quebec was interested in this and they were open to this approach, I believe I understood him to say that he had not received any overtures from the Government of Canada in this regard at all. Can you confirm that?
Écoutez, ce que je vous dis, c'est que la ministre rencontre ses collègues ministres de la Santé lors de la réunion des ministres de la Santé. Et nous allons poursuivre nos efforts avec les provinces et les territoires en vue d'arriver à des solutions innovatrices. Et nous sommes heureux de continuer à travailler avec eux, particulièrement dans le cadre de l'achat du projet de la possibilité de régime d'achat de médicaments en vrac.
Senator Carreño, if you would remind your colleague, Senator Ambrose, when next you see her, of the good work that was done by our standing Senate Committee on Social Affairs, Science and Technology, which produced a report in 2012, a committee led at the time by your colleague, Senator Ogilvie, and Vice Chair Senator Eggleton. And that was a review of the 2014 Health Accord and recommendation 28 in that report stated this, or recommended, that the federal government work with the provinces and territories to develop a national pharmacare program based on the principles of universal and equitable access for all Canadians, improved safety and appropriate use, cost controls to ensure value for money and sustainability, including a national catastrophic drug coverage program and national formulary. And perhaps you would remind the minister that that report was presented to the Senate by the committee and was endorsed unanimously by this chamber. So perhaps that would add some impetus to her efforts to work with her provincial colleagues to develop a national strategy, which I think is universally acknowledged to be needed to replace the current inexpensive framework of coverage for pharmacare in this country.
Le ministre est bien au fait du rapport du Sénat qui touche les domaines de la santé et bien entendu les provinces les territoires décident eux-mêmes des médicaments qui sont couverts par leur régime respectif et je me permets de vous rappeler que nous versons aux provinces et aux territoires des transferts en matière de santé les plus élevés dans l'histoire du Canada. Ce financement inégalé atteindra 40 milliards de dollars d'ici la fin de la décennie. Donc, la ministre est très au fait du dossier.
The Honourable Senator Cordy.
Thank you very much. And, Leader, I know that you spoke a couple of times about bulk purchasing, and that would be helpful, but it's certainly not enough to solve the problem. And you spoke about the provinces having control over their budgets. But the reality is, and as the Social Affairs Committee stated, the national leadership is required. And there are two reports that you should ask Minister Ambrose to look at, if you wouldn't mind. One would be going back to the Social Affairs Committee when we studied the health care system overall under the chairmanship of Senator Kirby, and Senator LeBreton was the vice chair at the time, and we did an in-depth study of the national pharmaceutical program and the need for it. Those in Atlantic Canada are most likely to not be covered. When you look at some provinces have pharmaceutical programs, but in Atlantic Canada, there's a higher percentage who are not covered. So I would ask that you ask Minister Ambrose to look at the report that was done by the Social Affairs Committee a while ago and the more recent one that was an evaluation of changes to the health care and that Senator Cowan quoted from, because I think that the minister would find significant amounts of information within those reports that would go a long way towards starting a dialogue with the provinces and territories.
The Honourable Senator Carignan.
Écoutez, je n'ai pas entendu la question, mais si je comprends bien, vous suggérez que je transmette les rapports à la ministre, mais comme vous savez, la ministre de la Santé, le ministère de la Santé, lorsque des rapports qui sont produits ici au Sénat reçoivent ces rapports, donc sont déjà au fait du contenu. Et comme je l'ai dit en réponse au sénateur Cowan, vous savez que les provinces et les territoires décident eux-mêmes des médicaments qui sont couverts. Et je vous rappelle encore une fois que le gouvernement fédéral donnera un financement inégalé qui atteindra 40 milliards de dollars d'ici la fin de la décennie, particulièrement dans les transferts en matière de santé, qui sont les plus élevés dans l'histoire du Canada.
It goes beyond which medications are covered, which pharmaceuticals are covered. It goes to the whole idea that there are Canadians who are suffering undue hardship because they are unable to pay for their medications. So it goes beyond the provincial jurisdiction of which medications are on the list that would be covered within the provinces. So I would ask that you, and I know the minister has gotten these reports, but if you would perhaps give her a gentle reminder to look at both, because there are Canadians who are suffering undue hardship, and some of them, in fact, are actually covered by medical programs, pharmaceutical programs within the workplace. But if you have a significant health problem that requires medication, and some people are paying upwards of $1,000 a month, and your medical program is not going to be covering that. And in fact, in the report that we did under the leadership of Senator Kirby, we dealt with those kinds of things for Canadians who are suffering undue hardship. So it goes beyond which medications are covered. It goes on to financial hardship for Canadians who, in some cases, are doing without the medications required for a healthy life.